2.3 Inspiration FM. Good afternoon and welcome to Wellness Half Hour. Good afternoon, Dr. Patrick. Welcome.
Good afternoon. Greetings, Ego. Greetings to Lagos and beyond. This is Inspiration, and we call ourselves Family Radio. We've gone through a lot of teaching and talking about wellness from our perspective, a perspective that gives reverence to the source of our being. We're privileged to have this channel to share wellness. We talk about ailments, diabetes, high blood pressure. We talk about women's issues, men's issues. The last 2 weeks, we dwelt into the area of African proverbs and how it impacts us, what they emanate from and what they teach us. This last week at my church, we had Family Week. There were different topics that were discussed each day, from the role of the father, role of the mother, society and how it influences the children. And yesterday, the topic was child abuse, especially child sexual abuse. We say wellness is a perspective on health that gives reverence to the source of our being. So it all starts with God, godliness. We impart their five pillars to wellness: spirituality, mindset, nutrition, lifestyle, and environment. Yesterday was an eye-opener, an awakening. We had experts talking to with us. We had parents who shared real stories, some of them their own personal journey as children, and some as adults. I was moved. I invited one of our participants to share with us today. The wellness of our children, the wellness in the family, starts from that nugget, that thing we call family, where you have father, mother, and the child. What happens into adulthood starts when we are children. Our memories in childhood affect how we behave and how we react as adults. The presence of our parents, presence of the village that helps to raise the child in a positive way, impacts how settled and how balanced we are as adults. It even manifests sometimes in ailments, physical ailments. Today, let's sit back, let's listen, and we'll open the lines after about 10, 15 minutes to hear your perspectives on the family of today, child abuse, sexual abuse, some of the, how it starts, what are we doing right, what are we doing wrong, what can we do to avoid it happening. I have a legal expert here who's also a parent and a very concerned member. Good afternoon, Vincent Atta.
Good afternoon, Doctor, and thank you for having me on your show.
Welcome.
Thank you.
And so, yesterday we heard some disturbing stories, children who were abused as early as age 5, 6, 7, some of them by relatives, some by house help. We heard stories of neglect, children who were raised by everyone else except their parents, and how it's manifesting in their behavior today. We heard stories of families that are collapsed because of things that happened in the childhood of either the husband or the wife. Divorce, rape. Vincent was really moved and shared some perspectives. The family unit is where we teach, where we train, is where we get our cues from. What is happening to the family unit?
Well, thank you for having me on your show. I think it all has to start with love. And you know, love is the essence of everything. And we always encourage parents to bring up their children in an atmosphere of love. You have to give that. You have to create that conducive environment for your children. You have to give that peace the joy, and it all comes with love. As a husband, you have to show love to your wife. And when you show love to your wife, your children are watching. You know, they are seeing what their parents are all about. So when you, as the head of the family, you've set the example to show love, to show respect to your wife, to all those around you, to be decent in your ways, to be cautious, both to those who are beneath you and those who are above you, then your children will begin to emulate these qualities. So these are the starting points. Then we talk about abuse. And I always tell people, there is no perfect definition for abuse. It could come in a subtle way. It could be psychological. It could be emotional. It could be physical. It could be any of the extreme violent acts. But when you look at all this, it's not coming from that source, you know, that's love. Yeah. It's coming from somewhere else. So if you shout at your wife, or you raise your hand at your wife, you are likely going to have your son growing up to do the same to his own wife. If you call probably your maids or those who you feel are not up to you in life, if you call them certain names or you're abusive towards them, your children will do the same. And the worst thing is that when you do this to your kids, you might have a situation where someone else will do that to them too. Because somehow it's just nature, and sometimes it's nemesis. So we need to be mindful of ourselves. We need to be open. We need to be decent, like I said, and have a very strong sense of responsibility as adults. Mm-hmm. Now, yesterday you were here, you know, while some of the speakers were saying, oh, you need to train your child to be mindful of these vices when they are coming, so they know how to guard against. And then, you know, people were saying, you tell your child, don't touch me here, don't touch me there, don't touch me, you know, at a very early age. Well, you know, like we said, it's like an hydra-headed monster, this abuse. Because when you start that with the child at that early age, you might create another problem. You might have your child being perpetually anxious. Yeah. You know, you just have that child just always frightened. Mm-hmm. You see someone coming with a good heart and the child is, you know, withdrawing. Yeah. Because there's always that feeling like booby traps are all over the place and your child walking on eggshells. Mm-hmm. But I always tell people, there are other ways, and there's so many ways, though you don't have a perfect way anyway. There's no perfect way to guard against this. We always pray that we are not visited with these sort of issues.
So these issues are real in society. Mm-hmm. And we expose our children at an early age to the training. Mm-hmm. To be cautious and be very aware of, you know, the touching, mm-hmm. how strangers or others interact with them.
Exactly.
Even nowadays, we tell our children, even uncle and auntie, how they interact, mm-hmm. with you. Mm-hmm. You've raised a key point. How do we do it so that we don't turn them into this, quote-unquote, excessively anxious, fearful. Young children, becoming young adults?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I said it yesterday. You have to be first and foremost, I mean, by nature, you are a parent to your child, but then you also have to be your child's friend. Yeah. You have to establish that relationship with your children. You have to be their best friend. Let them know that, you know, mommy and daddy are my best friends. And how do you relate with your best friends? You're always open to them. You're always willing to show love to your best friends and to always, you know, have their backs. So you have to have that friendship with your children, because when you do, then you create a comfort zone to talk to them about some of these things.
Yeah.
You see, people get away with abuses with other people's children when they know that, the child has been so programmed in such a way that he's not going to tell his parents.
Yeah.
I used to tell my wife, I said, I was never abused as a child because, you know, my mom, she had the balanced way of bringing us up. She was like our confidant, at the same time, our very strict, you know, mother. And then she showed us all the love. So I always say to people, I said, fortunately for me, I never experienced that, but I can't take away the fact that other people do, because I know that I will speak up.
My mom would say, with the right hand you spank, with the left hand you bring them close to your bosom.
Exactly. You must have that balanced relationship with your children.
Absolutely.
And you shouldn't have this godlike attitude towards them to say, look, I'm your father and I'm the provider and the head of the house and whatever I say goes. No, you know, because when you have that, then we were saying yesterday that children can have double faces. They will know, okay, this is what daddy wants, and this is what I will do when daddy is around, and then I'm somebody else when they are not watching. But you don't want to have that. You don't want to. I've seen many parents who will say, oh, your child is up to no good, and the parent will say, that is not my child, I know who my child is. But eventually they learn the hard truth. You know.
Okay, look, you've raised the arena of being friends with the children. Yes, we're parents. What are some things we can do to engineer that friendship with the child?
Do not isolate your children when you are bringing them up.
Okay.
Do not. I feel most parents do make that mistake where they will say, so I have a certain way to bring up my child, and I don't need any other person in my child's life. I don't need you to, you know, give me advice on how to raise my child. Remember, in our time, we were told that we are raised by the community.
Yes.
I remember when I was growing up and I see my neighbor with two bags or, you know, something that she's carrying. I'm expected to run to her and then, you know, greet her and assist her in carrying that. But, you know, the sort of life we live now, it's an isolationist kind of lifestyle where each man is on his own. Do not, I always say to parents, expose your child. Let your child move with the right circle. Take your child to church and don't let it stop there. Don't just take your child for Sunday masses and after that you say, we've done the part for God for this week. Let your child get involved in other church activities.
Okay. So beyond just going for mass, activities at the church,
other activities.
Youth activities, student activities.
Yeah, exactly. So that, you know, this child is not insulated. It doesn't become a hermit or a recluse at the end of the day. You see, when people know that your child is not on his own, then they will be very cautious around that child. They will tread with caution. Because if you look at most abuses, it's happened when no one is watching. So you come back and your child, maybe, you know, when he becomes adult, will be behaving in a weird way and then tells you, I have a confession. You know, the nanny molested me when... No. You don't leave your child or to their own devices.
A double-edged sword or problem that was raised from both perspectives is that of today's society. Yes, we have this isolationist kind of family. And in that isolation environment, dad and mom, dad is working. And in many cases, let's say most cases now, mom is working too.
Mm-hmm.
And the child is being raised by intermediaries.
Yes.
Leaving a child alone with intermediaries creates a risk.
Mm-hmm.
How do we mitigate that risk with the intermediary, with that, whether it's the driver, the nanny, the house help?
Well, you know, I don't want to say unfortunately, but in a way, the reality we are faced with in today's world is that you have to do with some of these people around your home, you know, nannies and drivers and maids and all that. But beyond that, it's also the responsibility on you as a parent to be very, very vigilant. You have to be very observant of your environment. Yes, you might be very, very busy. You want to wake up as early as 5 a.m. You get out of the house by 6. You are back by 6 p.m. You need to pause. You need to pause and try to know the environment around you and, you know, the people that you are raising your child with. And you need to ask questions. You need to take out time. It's not all about money. If you have time to make money, you have all the time to make this money. Where are you making the money for? Is it not for your kids? Do you want to have a situation where you finish making all the money and then you don't have those kids to spend the money on them? No. You need to balance your life.
Okay. You need to balance your life. So you wake up at 5 in the morning, leave home by 6, 6.30 to get to work. You come back from work by 7, 8 p.m. Whether traffic or hours at the office. You spend an hour with the child doing homework. The child may not really talk to you because they have homework to do. By 10 p.m., 9.30, 10 p.m., they need to be asleep. This is the reality of today.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the time to build that friendship? Where's the time to create that openness?
When you are at work, you do have break time. Okay? And sometimes when you go for this break time, you try... I mean, let me not say I want to give an advice that is like El Dorado, like, okay, you know, you have it all figured out. Because, you know, we are all different in many ways. And our circumstances differ. But can I just say, okay, can this work? That sometimes you go on break and you say, let me reach out to these kids at home. Especially, of course, you will reach out to your kids at home when they are on holidays. You will probably need to reach out to them when they are in school. Because, you know, I mean, where do they have that access? But to reach out. Also, we have technology. Sometimes, you know, I've heard some parents say, oh, I have video cameras in my house.
Yeah.
And when I'm at work, I can watch what they are doing at home. Okay? Sometimes also, you need to have a bit of trust in people. If you trust yourself, then it's likely that you will find someone like you within your family circle that you can have live with you, and you trust that person to do right by your kids. I mean, I don't believe that we are all vipers and, you know, everyone is bad. I do believe that there are some good people, you know, around and with us, who will guide us, who will watch our backs, who will protect our kids too. Unfortunately, like I said, you can't, unless you have some homes where maybe the man is rich enough to say to the wife, okay, you know what, you sit at home and watch over these kids while I go out to do all the work and provide for you guys. But we are in a situation where both spouses now have that responsibility. So I know people will say, oh, my kids, oh, I'm busy. You need to make that time. You just have to for them. If you have the time to bring them into this world, why won't you have the time to watch over them and see what's going on with them?
Having that time was really talked about. Folks, the price you pay if children go off track at an early age, the price later is 100 times more chaotic, more expensive than the price we pay now. Making sure that they are there's a parental and friendship relationship with them. Sacrificing a couple hours of work on the weekend, making sure that it's their time.
Exactly.
Weekends. Playing games with them, engaging them in watching the videos, the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, when we heard some of the stories of even cases of children who committed suicide, mm-hmm. some things are irreparable, irretrievable. Mm-hmm. So just as we talk about wellness, looking at our health perspective, where we want to stay healthy, avoid sickness, the same thing applies with the children and the family.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's a price we must pay for their sound foundation.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And we mm-hmm. reap the benefits as they get mm-hmm. older.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. We mentioned about the case yesterday, the man that raped his two daughters. Very, very sad. 8 years old, 5 years old. And, when my colleague said, he asked the lady, so have you known about this going on? And she said, oh, yes. But I thought it was a spiritual attack. I thought my husband was spiritually attacked. And I thought it was a phase that will pass with the first child until, it went on to the younger one. And these are the problems. Let me tell you the society we find ourselves. We live in a very secretive society. Not only we live in a secretive society, we live in a society where if you have to talk about your problem, you're stigmatized.
Mm.
Okay? You know, people like, oh, why are you going about telling people about your problem? There is a witch or a wizard somewhere that is going to add more to it, We should. We just keep ourselves in that bondage. And the sooner we realize this, the better we start opening up and talking about it. For instance, how many counseling and guidance centers do we have in our states?
Exactly.
How many? I've heard about some churches that want to open branches in all the streets, or some banks. We have primary health centers all over the place. How many counseling centers do you have that people can go to and say, okay, you know what? I don't want to talk to any of my family members about the problem I'm having. But I need to talk to someone. And I want to talk to someone who can give me a dispassionate, advice and guidance. We don't have that. And the sooner we realize that we need to start talking about our problems, the better, for us. Nigerians don't like talking about some certain issues. You say, no, go area, I can't talk about it. I'm having this problem. No, I can't talk. They will look at me in a certain way. The other day I was watching one of these motivational speakers online, and he said the 7 rules of life. And one of them is, what people say or think about you is really none of your business. What matters most is that you look after yourself.
Yep.
And if you have to go talking to someone to get solution to your problem, then you do that. I've heard people say, what's wrong with you? Nothing. You say, are you sure? Nothing. And then later you hear the person has dropped dead or has committed suicide. Okay?
This is Inspiration Family Radio. We're having a family discussion here. Some of the chaotic things that we allow to fester. Again, sometimes out of pride, out of avoidance being stigmatized. How do we interpret if someone comes to you and shares with you what's going on in the family? Do you become a source of healing, a source of wellness, or do you become a source of, oh, really? And then negate that whole interaction. One of the areas we touched on was when children open up to parents, how do parents respond? Mm-hmm. Do they respond or do they react? Mm-hmm. That was quite a discussion. And I know time is a bit limited today. So folks, we will continue this discussion next week. Vincent will be with us next week. We'll have one or two experts in the field with us, either in person or via phone, to address how do we parents listen to our children? Do we really listen to them? Are we too clogged with how we were raised or how we think it ought to be? Are we too bothered about how people on the outside will hear it or see it? It's a hefty price to pay if we don't listen and listen properly at an early phase, because what we end up creating is adding to this hydra-headed monster mm-hmm. and the perpetuation of poor parenting skills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the onus is on us to get it right now. Mm-hmm. We also talked about the child who is the abusive one. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with that child?
Mm-hmm.
The child who has hidden these issues to become adult, and now it's creating havoc in their personal space, mm-hmm. in their marriage space, in their relationship space. Mm-hmm. We'll address these as we look at wellness in the family with Vincent Attar and one of our 12-hour family experts next week. We're going to sign off early today here on Wellness Half Hour. We have a special session with Uncle Sonny coming on at 1:30. Did say it with music. Uncle Sonny is looking like he's 10, 15 years younger. He went and he's putting on this awesome jacket that is just making him radiate, even the smile safe. Vincent, thank you very much. We've opened up a lot of hurts. We've uncovered some scabs. Next week, we'll touch a bit further and even give some solutions. One of the things we take away from today is that parental balance. Friendship is part of that balance. Mm. I will end today by sharing with you my own personal story with my father. Something happened around age 18, and I wrote my father a letter. And then I said to him, I know you're my dad, and you've been a disciplinarian. We nickname you for Minister of Education and all of that. But from today, I want us to be friends. Something happened to me, just an awakening. And that letter totally transformed our relationship to the point where we could joke, we could laugh, I could poke him in the stomach. I mean, he could touch my head that was beginning to boil at age 18. And it became a true friendship relationship up until the time he transitioned. So there are awesome stories of how to do it and how to do it right, the challenges that we all face, and creating a family that is totally balanced and for the new generation to come. Join us next week again at 1 p.m. for Wellness Half Hour with Vincent and more. Thank you all very much. Vincent, thank you.
Thank you for having me.